we use cap and trade to control sulfur dioxide emissions that cause acid rain. And it's actually been quite successful, though the administrative and the economic issues raised by applying it to acid rain are very different from those that arise when we consider applying this to all energy that fuels the economy.
Okay, let's talk about the administrative side. What would that create in the federal government in terms of a mechanism to make sure that it really is working?
Well, this is really quite a complex challenge, because you would have to be monitoring either emissions or, more likely, energy use, not only initially when the permits are being distributed, but also before, after every trade, because some energy producers will be buying more permits and others will be selling permits. And that's the whole theory of cap and trade, is that those who can reduce their emissions most efficiently, that is for the least amount of money, will do so. They will then have excess permits, and they will sell those permits to other energy producers or distributors who would find it more expensive to reduce their emissions. So the second class, instead of reducing their emissions, would buy more permits. And so you have to monitor actual energy use after the trades as well. That's a very complicated challenge.
And it sounds as if there would be almost an entire new bureaucracy that would be required to handle that.
Oh, there's no doubt. This is... this would require quite an elaborate monitoring and enforcement system, which would involve a lot of people and a whole new administrative structure. There's no doubt about that. And one of the other issues that arises in this is that cap-and-trade regimes, regulatory regimes that set a quantity cap on anything, tend to produce volatile prices, because demand, we can't really predict energy demand with a lot of precision, because the winter may be colder than expected, or the summer hotter than expected, or the economy stronger than expected. And when demand goes up, because the number of permits has been set at a cap, the price for those permits begins to go up very quickly. And so down if you've estimated in the other direction. And so as this volatility occurs, and we see a lot of that price volatility in the permits in the acid rain program, as that volatility increases, you may get much more rapid trading in permits. And so not only would there be this very large administrative challenge, but it would be subject to a lot of changes, variations, periods when there's enormous trading and periods when there's not.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Shapiro, former Undersecretary of Commerce for Economic Affairs during the Clinton administration. And I guess part of the problem is the fact that there are so many more sources of carbon dioxide than there are of sulfur dioxide. And so it really affects a much broader spectrum of the economic activity in the country.
Yes, it is a really different challenge in acid rain than in cap and trade for greenhouse gas emissions. The other real difference here is that with the acid rain program, the goal was to get the producers, give them the incentives to install scrubbers that would reduce the sulfur dioxide emissions. The scrubbers were a known technology, and it was really a matter of moving about 5,000 plants to install these scrubbers, mainly in the northeast part of the United States. And with cap and trade for greenhouse gas emissions, you've got a much more complex goal here, which is to get businesses and households to make thousands of different decisions about what kinds of energy to use, what kinds of technologies to buy, what kinds of appliances, when does it make sense to change the heating system or the cooling system or the lighting system in a factory, an office, or a home. And to get people to other businesses, give them the incentives to develop new alternative fuels and new technologies. Because, frankly, the state of alternative fuels and the state of technology and energy efficiency today is not sufficient to address greenhouse gases, climate change. We're going to need to develop new or cheaper forms of alternative fuels, as well as a lot of new technologies. And so the whole project is much larger and more difficult. This is why a lot of economists and environmental experts prefer a carbon-based tax, often a revenue-neutral carbon-based tax, where you impose a tax on carbon and then use the revenues, recycle them back to households. And there are very large administrative advantages to this. You don't have to monitor emissions.
Right, people just pay for what they produce.
Right.
Well, it sounds like in Congress, then, they are throwing an enormous set of dice, betting on the economy and enforcing all sorts of costs and personal choices and creating vast new bureaucracies. And yet, if I may say so, it's not universally given that this is going to have much effect on climate change. And we have trading partners in China and India that are saying, go ahead, you go ahead and do it. Leave us alone. And so I wonder if this entire program that they're debating is going to really have much effect on the world climate.
Well, this is really the critical question. There is no scientific doubt that we have to take very serious action, and we have to take it soon. And cap and trade, the other reason that many climate experts like Jim Hansen, really the father of the climate change issue, prefer carbon-based taxes, is that the cap-and-trade system is very complex, and it provides a lot of opportunities for different interests to get special exemptions, and that is to have a cap that doesn't really cap much. There's been a lot of criticism of the Waxman-Markey bill for this, that there were so many exemptions that entered into it and offsets that it won't produce very much reduction in emissions. The European trading system, which is a cap-and-trade scheme for Western Europe, has suffered from this as well. It's been in operation for 5 years, and it hasn't reduced emissions at all. Germany exempted their coal-fired plants, which is...
Well, it's pretty much most of the carbon dioxide.
It's the center of the problem.